Well, with the Prime Minister effectively taking a GST hike off the table, the Treasurer, Scott Morrison, is now working on Plan B, a package of tax changes that can not only pay for personal income tax cuts, but lift economic growth at the same time, and, of course, be fair. Economists say he doesn't have to look too far. Just have a read of the 138 recommendations in the Henry Tax Review, which was handed down 6 years ago under the former Rudd Labor government, and which many still consider to be the royal gold standard for tax reform. Professor John Piggott is an economist at the University of New South Wales. He was a member of the Henry Tax Review panel. He joins us now. John Piggott, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, friend.
Many of the ideas being floated now for tax reform, particularly changes to super contribution taxes and replacing work-related tax deductions with one standard deduction, actually started off, came to life in the Henry Tax Review. Do you get annoyed it's taken 6 years for some of your recommendations to really be taken seriously by government?
Not at all. There's actually a statement in the Henry Review that says this shouldn't happen too quickly. I see it as a resource. I see the Henry Report as a resource that will be used for the next 20 years to gradually reshape our tax system to cope with the environment in which it works through the 21st century.
So, well, certainly it hasn't happened too quickly, I think it's fair to say. 6 years on, though, I suppose in some timeframes is not all that slow. The recommendations that you came out with, those 138 recommendations, have you had a look at them again? Do they stand the test of time?
Many of them do. I think that, the environment in which the tax system operates is very different than in the 70s and 80s when the last big report was 1975. So it took a quarter of a century, right? It recommended a GST and that didn't come in until 2000. But we were able to cope with, we were able to address issues like demographic change and like the importance of the environment, much more important than the 70s, and globalization of the capital market. I think they're very important, and technological change. Those things really meant that you had to think carefully about where the tax system should go over this next period.
The GST was not officially in the figuring of the Henry Tax Review. It wasn't included. It was off the table, so to speak. It looks like an increase in the GST is off the table again. But let me remind you of, nevertheless, what the Henry Tax Review did say on taxing consumption. Consumption is potentially one of the most efficient and sustainable tax bases available to governments. Empirical evidence indicates that a broad-based tax on consumption is one of the least damaging taxes to economic growth. That's what the panel thought 6 years ago. Do you think Australia's making the wrong move, or the Turnbull government would be pulling the wrong move if they now again take the GST increase off the table?
I think that the fact that we have a progressive income tax means that if you leave that unchanged, gradually the weight of tax revenue moves to the personal income tax, and that there's a point where you have to correct that. And the most efficient way of correcting that is by looking to consumption taxation. So I would have thought that it might be off the table for now, but at some stage, governments will have to look to increase the GST rate or broaden the base or both.
But
maybe
not
by 5 percentage points. That seemed to me to be ambitious.
So perhaps that's where the politics got in the way of it. It was too ambitious. I mean, the Prime Minister has said, and he makes the argument now, that they got all the modelling in, they looked at the impact of it, and if one of the key reasons for changing the tax mix or any tax reform is to increase jobs and growth, then the modelling showed that increasing the GST by 5% didn't do it. By the time you paid everything back, unless you put the bulk of it on company tax cuts, you didn't get that growth dividend. Does that make sense to you?
Or do you think
politics killed it?
I think that decreasing the corporate tax rate is important. I think it needs to be appreciated that it's people who end up paying taxes, right? Not businesses and not corporations. It's people who end up paying taxes. They pay the taxes either directly through their labour income tax, or they pay it because their superannuation gets taxed and they get less profits, less returns, or they pay it because there's less capital in the country and their wages are lower. And I mentioned at the beginning, globalization is a big change in the last quarter century in the world. And if we're not competitive with our corporate tax rate, then we're going to lose inward investment, and that's going to affect wage growth in the country.
It's a hard argument. It's a complex argument, I guess, for governments to make. But if they are making that argument, they also need to be seen to be treating people fairly. And equity was a big issue in the budget cuts that the Abbott government handed down in 2014, which eventually sort of hobbled the government, really, politically. It still remains a big issue and one of the big themes of the Prime Minister for any tax reform. That brings changes to superannuation into focus, and that was one of the key findings of the the Henry Tax Review panel of the panel you were on.
Yeah, that's right. So, if we go back to that earlier report, superannuation didn't figure very much. There was no mandatory superannuation scheme imagined. People didn't talk much about demographic change or population aging. But of course, that's come to the fore now. And I think the strategic mistake was made in the 80s by taxing superannuation at flat rates, 15%.
Mm.
Now, most countries in the world offer what economists call an expenditure tax treatment of superannuation. So you only tax it once, not twice, like standard capital income. But they do it by recourse, by reference to a progressive income tax schedule. And that's what's missing from us. And what we did in Henry, and it took a long time, I should say, to work it out, but what we did in Henry was effectively come up with a system where you had a rate of tax which applied at the taxpayer's marginal rate minus a discount.
Mm.
And that gives you the progressivity that you need. And I noticed that the Prime Minister was saying he was looking closely at a proposal that was related to that. And I think that would be an excellent move, and it would address the concern of equity within the superannuation tax system.
Yes, Deloitte's came out with a similar proposal, and it was replacing the flat rate, as you said, with your marginal tax rate less a 15% discount.
15 percentage points, I think, was what we said, yes.
So it looks like the government is looking at that. All these years on, do you think if that change is made, is our retirement system fundamentally flawed, or is it about right if we make that change?
I think that change would make a big difference. I would like to see some stability in the tax of superannuation. People have to plan a long way ahead, and it just adds to all the uncertainties they currently confront if they're uncertain about what the tax system is going to be around their retirement income.
What about, speaking with John Pickett, he was a member of the Henry Tax Review Panel, what about negative gearing of investment property? John, Henry didn't specifically go to this, but you did recommend cutting the capital gains tax discount from the sale of investment properties and shares from the current 50% to 40%, and then extend it to all investment incomes, including rents and bank interest. That would make negative gearing less attractive. Which lever do you think the government should be pulling, if either capital gains tax or negative gearing?
Well, negative gearing is a process. So we have a personal income tax which says, here's all your income, here are all your costs, you can set your costs against your income, no matter what. Some countries don't do that. Some countries quarantine the income and the costs to particular assets or to particular classes of income. So we have a system, a process where we say, oh, that's one. So it's quite difficult to change that. I think it's better to say we can reduce the attractiveness of negative gearing by reducing the discount that's offered on the capital gains tax. And that's what we did in Henry, and I haven't really changed my mind about that. I think that's the way to go.
There were a lot of other ideas in Henry too. There was a whole lot of road user charges, things like that. Land taxes was talked about. If you were advising Treasurer Scott Morrison today, and perhaps it's a bit of a stretch to expect you to remember all 138 recommendations, but what other areas of reform in the Henry Review would you urge him to take up as a priority?
Well, it depends what he wants to do. So if he wants just to raise revenue, then Henry doesn't have that many pockets of, I can go there and get a pocket of revenue that's never been exploited, because the governments have been pretty good at exploiting pockets of revenue over the, right? So a lot of those have been exhausted. It's more about structure. But one item which does keep coming up, and which I don't think was a recommendation in the Henry Review, but was discussed, is to take the owner-occupied home and take a very high threshold, like more than $1 million, and bring that into the assets test for the age pension. And that still appeals to me as a revenue-saving proposal. You'd have to do it carefully. You would have to do it in line with some kind of equity drawdown system, which meant that people did not end up being asset-rich and cash-poor. But it does, I guess it it upsets me a little that people on relatively low incomes are paying labour income tax, right, to fund people who are millionaires in their retirement. And I think we could do something about that.
Okay. And just can I ask you finally, an essential poll yesterday highlighted one major problem for any government embarking on tax reform, that the public is confused, doesn't exactly understand why we need it.
Yeah,
simply,
so I think,
can you say why we need tax reform?
Yeah, I can. I think, and I began with that, I thought. I mean, the demographics are different, the social context is different, the globalization is different, the environment is different. Now, all those things mean that you've got to have a different kind of tax system to make it work well. But the demography in particular means we're going to need a bit more tax revenue than we did in the past, and that is a kind of supplementary story to the change in the structure. So you need tax reform, and you also need the kind of tax reform which gives you a little bit more revenue, unless we're prepared to really compromise the social structure that we have. And I don't sense an appetite for that. I think that was the 2014 budget.
So we've got a revenue problem.
We've got a revenue problem.
John Piggott, thank you very much for joining us.
My great pleasure. Thank
Professor John Piggott is the Director of the Centre of Excellence in Population Ageing Research at the University of New South Wales, and he was a member of the Henry Tax Review Panel, along with current RBA member Heather Ridout, and then Treasury Secretary, now Board Director Ken Henry, amongst others.